You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Happy Friday, Chapel. Probably my favorite chapel of the week. So I'm happy to be in here with you guys. My soul finds a friend. The lyric in that song is beautiful, and if you're a believer in Christ, you know what that's about, and that spoke to me. I know Jeannie welcomed them. I just want to do it one more time to our 40-ish prospective student athletes, families, and friends. Can you guys give it up for them one more time? We appreciate you guys being here. When I walked into this chapel the first time, 7 or 8 years ago, date myself a little bit, I did not know what would be happening the next few years, next couple years, next year. Did not have a relationship with Jesus. I wanted to be close to home, and I loved the game of baseball. And God used that in this place to draw me into Him. And so we're glad that you're here. My name's Colton Back, and I get to serve for this university in the realm of athletic communications. And that's an honor for me, and I just want to say, we'd love for you guys to keep up with Team AU on social media at Asbury Eagles. You guys can follow us and stay up to date with all things Team AU, but also, I want to encourage you and invite you to visit our home games. We have multiple home games. I was kidding with Rachel, and as they host multiple events a week with Chapel, we host multiple events a week, home games, every week. We'd love for you to visit those games. We hope that my prayer is that it's a place for you to connect. Maybe you meet a friend there. Maybe you have an experience that's fun there. I was talking with Matt Penny a little while ago, and he said one of his favorite experiences from college was the student section and home games he was a part of at his school. And so I hope it's really a blessing to you, but I promise you it would bless our teams and us to have some noise there. We've got some tomorrow. Cross country is competing tomorrow morning, so a beautiful fall day. In Wilmore, you can come see them in the morning, then volleyball competes tomorrow afternoon. So we'd love to have you guys there with us and throughout the year, honestly. A quick story. In my second year at Asbury, about 7 years ago, as I said, my second year, my assistant coach in the baseball team, he sent me an application for a summer internship, but a chance to play summer baseball in Southern California and do ministry out there too. And at first, I was like, man, that's too far. I mean, that's a lot. And so before you check out, just stay in there, because it was a long trip, but I decided to actually go out and be with Southern California FCA baseball. And when I went out there, I had just recently surrendered my life to Jesus, just recently, just a brand new believer in relationship with God. And I was searching for what it looked like to love my sport but be surrendered to God. How do you do that? How can you love your sport and be surrendered to God? So I spent 3 summers out there in La Mirada, California. Funny enough, the hometown of my head coach here, Manny Cervantes. And while I was a student here and spending 3 summers out there, I really feel like I was kind of spoiled to see what it looks like to love your sport. It's a terrible God. Your sport is a terrible God. But to love that sport and let God use it as a tool and a platform to be shaped through it, and then to have impact. We would have little 9 to 10-year-old kids come to camp, and we would teach them baseball at a high level and share the gospel. That same mission is what we bring here to Team AU, is to use sport. And so today you're going to hear from our Team AU chaplain, but before that, we've got a couple people up here with me, and these are student athletes here on campus, and we're going to have some questions, Q&A with them. So I'm going to begin that, and Celia, I'll let you start with just introducing yourself, name, major, hometown, and year.
Yeah, my name is Celia Pelfrey. I'm on the women's basketball team, and I am a graduate student, so I'm old.
Not as much as me. Go ahead, Jason.
My name's Jason. I'm a sophomore sport management major from Vero Beach, Florida, and I'm on the men's soccer team.
So Celia, women's basketball, Jason, men's soccer, and he also runs men's track and field, which is pretty cool. Celia, grad student, Jason, sophomore. So you got some different perspectives as far as how long they've been here. Jason, what led you to Asbury?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip with Chicago Eagles. It's a soccer, faith-based soccer club. And on that trip, I met Noah Welch. Shout out Noah, who's assistant on this team, on a men's team. So that's kind of my connection there. And he led me through the process of finding Asbury.
Awesome. And so, yeah, what led you to come to AU?
So I was actually a transfer student, transferred here my sophomore year. I remember my first visit when I was in high school. I fell asleep on the ride there, and I woke up, and I remember all I saw was, like, country roads and horses. And I was like, oh, no, this is too much for me. I'm in the middle of nowhere. But quickly realized that, you know, we're only 10 minutes from Nicholsville, 20 from Lexington, got a subway. So when I came back for my second visit, I was like, okay, the people here are just, they're great and they're nice, and it's not just an act for your visit. The way they are today is the way they are always, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. Subway, a little Great Wall action too, some Chinese food in town. Got to hit that place up. So Jason, I didn't know that you actually were led to Asbury through the Chicago Eagles and our assistant soccer coach, Noah Welch, in that relationship. But could you explain to us about the Chicago Eagles for anybody who doesn't know and your experience there and kind of what you learned through that opportunity to serve with them through soccer?
Yeah, so Chicago Eagles is under MAI, Missionary Athletes International. I had the opportunity to go on two short-term mission trips with them, my summer into senior year of high school, and the summer after that to Columbia. And then this past summer, I had the opportunity to do their college program. It was more extensive, where we did 2 weeks in Brazil, 4 to 5 weeks in Chicago, Illinois, and Wisconsin as well, leading camps for kids 7 to 14 years old, playing games against U23 teams, and learn about sports ministry. So we got to learn about sports ministry and then apply it to those camps and the games we played there.
And that's similar to the experience I had in California with using the sport to train and share the gospel.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's awesome. Celia, I know you've gotten to travel to Puerto Rico with Link 8 Project and Coach Mays, our head women's basketball coach. Could you share a little bit about your experience traveling there and maybe how it impacted you?
Yeah, so my first time I went to Puerto Rico, I just transferred. School hadn't started yet, and Coach Mays texted me. He said, all right, we're going to Puerto Rico here in about a month. We already bought tickets, but, like, we'll let you know if there's an extra one that opens up. So literally a week before they're about to leave, he texts me. He's like, we got a ticket. You want to go? It's like, okay, fine. I was like, if you don't mind, just text the girls. Let them know that I'm coming, so that way when I show up, it's not awkward. So show up to the Louisville airport at 5 a.m. on a Saturday. I walk in, and I'm like, hey, did Coach Mays tell you? And they're like, tell you what? And I was like, okay, great. So he didn't tell them that I was going. I was like, thanks a lot, Chad. But ended up being the best week ever. Got to bond with those girls on such a different level, and was thankful that Chad, you know, didn't tell them, so I was kind of forced out of my comfort zone, and I've been back every summer since. But the thing I love most about Puerto Rico is you go to serve, but when you get on that plane to come back home, you realize that you were the one that was served by the people there. All of our hearts, you know, need to be worked on and all those things, and, you know, we're helping those people and serving those people, but, you know, they serve us, change our hearts, transform our teams, and we're just able to bond on a different level through serving the people in Puerto Rico.
It's really powerful. So you hear God using the tool that he's put in your hand, and obviously these two have been given the ability to compete at a high level. Jason's running around 6'5" on the soccer field like crazy, and Celia knocking down threes and doing things, but they're using the sport that God's given them. There's opportunity there. And I think that's so cool to hear about. Jason, how do you see Jesus using your relationship with him in the sport that you play?
Yeah. The thing about sports is, as fun as they are and as much we enjoy them, they put us in a lot of situations where we can hurt others or hurt our character and hurt the relationship with God. So main thing I learned this summer is kind of how to, like you've been saying, rely on Jesus when it comes to your sport so you can pursue it with excellence, but also keep your testimony. So a big thing that my relationship with Jesus has really helped with is keeping that testimony before the game, after the game, and tying it together with how you play during the game. And I wouldn't say I'm perfect at it, but it's hard to share someone the love of Christ when during the game you're someone that they hate and don't want to be around because of your actions and words. So that's something that he's really been working on my heart and figuring out how to act on the field so when I talk to him after the game, it matches with the same person they played against.
That's powerful. Celia, how have you seen yourself be shaped or formed through your time in college athletics?
Yeah, I think college sports will kind of either make you or break you. You find out real quick what you place your success in. And I know as athletes, we always hear the identity talk and it kind of gets a little repetitive, but I think it stands to be so true because you know, anything you place your identity in other than God will let you down 100% of the time. So I think that's been kind of my biggest takeaway. And that doesn't mean it's not a daily battle, but whether you're an athlete or not, we all have that one thing. And if that one thing is not God, it will let us down. But I think Asbury does a great job of creating an environment where we feel comfortable and challenged and just encouraged through that process and through that daily battle.
I was really surprised that you could really love your sport still. I mean, I started playing when I was 3 or 4. I did not have a relationship with Jesus. And you don't have to let it go. It can be a platform that he uses. Can you guys thank our student athletes for being up here and sharing with us? I'm gonna invite up our Team AU chaplain, Zach Meerkreeves. And while he's on his way up, I'm just going to pray for us and pray for him to share what the Lord's put on his heart. So let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you for a chance to gather together today. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to have athletics and allow us to have this university, and I pray that you would speak through Zach this morning. I pray that you would let it be your words that come through him and that we would receive in the way you want us to receive and act in the way you want us to act. We love you, Father. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
So I was in the car with one of my friends, and we were really pumped to go to Nashville. I was new to this area. I grew up in Colorado, went to school in Indiana, and we were pumped about Nashville. Like, who here loves Nashville? Yeah, 4 of you. Good. And I noticed that, like, man, this is a really beautiful ride through mountains. I was like, I'm not seeing any signs for Nashville. And it turned out that if you miss the N, you end up in Asheville. So I learned that day that it really matters where you're headed and clarity on where you're going. Right? Asheville's pretty good. We can pray for it right now. That's not a joke. We should probably pray for it. But that day, I was headed to Nashville, ended up in Asheville. And my prayer today, as we do talk about athletics, it's not just for athletes. All of you guys can wrestle with, like, where are you headed? Like, what really is your prize? Because where your head is facing, where your eyes are set, the goals that you're setting, you'll probably end up there. Amen? Like, if we work hard enough and we do it unto the Lord, we'll probably end up there. And whether you're an athlete or a business major or a ministry major or education major, my heart would be that you don't just end up in a good job or with a ring on your finger or a banner in the gym. Because you will be disappointed. You'll be disappointed. Today we're going to talk about a key passage in Scripture, Philippians 3. Philippians 3 is from the letter from the Apostle Paul to a church of Philippi. Okay? And what he was concerned about was this church had been planted and it was growing. And at the beginning of Philippians 3, he says, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs that are going to try to make you confident on the outside of your body. He actually uses the concept of circumcision, a drastic difference on the outside of your body. And he says, we're the true circumcision because of what's going on inside of us. In Scripture, it uses this illustration of Jesus, the Spirit, the gospel, circumcising our hearts, making us clean through the gospel. This is what we're talking about, and this is not just for athletes. This is for every believer. Where your eyes are focused, where your prize is, needs to be on much greater things than rings and banners and jobs. If you want to flip to Philippians 3, you have Bibles in front of you, or you can put up your app. But I would love to pray for our time. Jesus, thank you for your word. Jesus, thank you that you have good things for us. But Jesus, I thank you that the cross is the best thing for us. I thank you for the athletes in the room. I thank you for the 40 or so guests. We pray that you would speak to them and that they would hear the voice of God and end up exactly where they need to be for 4 years. And we just pray blessing over them. If that's not Asbury, make it clear. If it is Asbury, we welcome them and thank God that you would send us new friends, new brothers and sisters. Give them peace. Give them clarity. And Jesus, I pray that you would open our eyes to your word, that we would have fresh revelation from your scriptures, and anything from Zach would just fall to the ground and be forgotten, but anything from your spirit, spoken through your word, would find fertile soil in our hearts, produce fruit. And we all said, amen. So Philippians 3, as we said, starts with the warning that Paul, talking to people who he cares about, he says, beware of the dogs. Dogs would have not been a positive thing. You might call each other dogs, and that's like a bro thing now. But in the Bible, this is quite insulting. Dogs were people that were mutilating, were confusing. And it was ultimately on what's the confidence on the outside of your life. That's verse 1 and 2. Verses 3 through 6, it talks about if you are wanting to flex on the confidence on the outside of your life, if you want to roll out your resume, if you want to roll out your records, your hitting percentage, your goal and assists, the save percentage, whatever illustration you want to use, if you want to flex your GPA, if you want to flex what programs and what clubs you're a part of, Paul, in this situation, in context, is saying, if you want to put confidence in the flesh, I'll put confidence in the flesh and I'll show you. He says, if y'all are going to flex, I'm going to flex. And then he then rolls out his actual resume in verses 3 through 6. He says, don't bet on the confidence of the flesh, because he has much more reason to be confident in the flesh. He talks about ritual. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He talks about race. He talks about his rank. He talks about his tradition. He talks about how he acts on and morality. And then he talks about how serious he takes Jesus. And he's not trying to be prideful in this moment. He's just saying, hey, if you're going to flex, let me flex. And I think one thing I want to challenge Christians on the athletic teams. Christians on the athletic teams, knowing that not everyone on our teams would have a relationship with Jesus, we welcome you. You're honored here. You know I love you. But I want to speak to the Christians on the team. If you are flexing in pride, what makes you different than the other people on your team, I want you to spend some time in Philippians 3. Does that make sense? Because in Philippians 3, he's saying, if you're going to flex, let me flex. But then he refocuses the purpose of everything. He reorients our understanding of value. He says, all those things, the flex of his reputation and his resume, all those things are rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. What I love about our AD and the vice president, Mark Whitworth, is he said it in the first lines of that video. What makes us different is, yeah, we want to compete, we want to win games, but we're doing this for a whole different purpose. That's literally Philippians 3. He's like, we want to win games. We want to score goals. But you know what? Compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, it's trash. It's rubbish. I believe that our athletics would give away all the wins to know Jesus in fullness. What's awesome is we don't have to do that. I believe that the professors in your class want you to be excellent in your schooling, in your tests. I believe that the clubs you lead, the worship services you serve in, everything that you do, we should do unto the Lord and not become pushovers and weak. But compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, it's dog dung. He reorients our purpose. I have the opportunity to brag on my wife. There's a thing in athletics, in college athletics, that when you are one of the best players in the nation, you become an All-American. And my wife was a 3-year All-American. So she's really good. I was the 4th-string goalkeeper, so I don't have these. Now, this is unbelievable. And we would love to have all Americans. I pray that some of you 40 athletes come and you just excel at such a high level that you get one of these cool things. But you know where I got these this morning? From the back of a closet. And they smell musky. There's actually a third one, and I can't find them. That's not because this is worthless. She's excellent at what she did. But compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, they end up in a closet. My state championship rings from high school are at my mom's house. I don't wear them. My national championship t-shirt is pajamas for my 7-year-old daughter. I'm glad that I got to win some games and play some sports. I played soccer. But compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, it's nothing. So maybe it's not an All-American jacket. Maybe it's not a ring. Maybe it's not, but maybe it's a job offer. Maybe it's your GPA. Maybe it's your reputation. Maybe it's all the titles you hold on campus. Maybe it's the amount of money in your bank account. How do you hold those compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord? Paul says, all that is nothing. What I want is I want to be found in him. I want to be found in Jesus. I don't want to rely on my good works or righteousness, but I want to know Christ Jesus in his power and his suffering. What do you want? Really? Do you know what happens to All-American jackets and banners? What happens to beautiful houses and nice cars? Do you know what happens? They rust and disappear. There'll be a day that we'll hear trumpets and All-American jackets and bank accounts don't mean anything. That we'll be worshiping Jesus in heaven. So you might say, okay, pause. So do you want me to just like not care about all this stuff? Do you want to like, no, like you can't look at your coaches and be like, Zach said that this doesn't really matter to do fitness because I don't take that to heaven. It theologically might be true, but you can't do that because we're believers. One of the things that is just pervasive in Christian culture is that we should just like lean back. No, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, we should do this to the glory of God. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it for the glory and honor of God. Whatever gift you have, you should be excellent at it. You should be one of the best at it. I shouldn't suck at preaching because I'm Christian and I don't want to be prideful. Does that make sense? Just like Peyton doesn't get to suck at being a goalkeeper because he's a Christian. In fact, he should be unbelievable. Right? So how do we focus on the ultimate prize? What is the ultimate prize? We press on, setting our eyes on the ultimate prize. In verses 12 and 13, he says, I press on, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what's ahead. So what are your eyes on? It might be on postseason. It might be on individual awards and success. It might be getting a good job. It might be excelling in your classes. But those are just stop-offs. Those are just points on the way to the ultimate prize. Amen? The ultimate prize is what? It's going to sound cheesy. It's going to sound like a Sunday school answer, but most Sunday school answers are actually correct. That's why they're Sunday school answers. What is the ultimate prize? You can read the end of this passage, verse 14. You can cheat. What is it? It's Jesus. The heavenly call upward. The ultimate prize is Jesus. All American jackets end up in the back of closets. Six packs turned into dad bods. Degrees, cool. They'll end up in a frame, maybe on your wall. Jobs, money, prestige. We should be excellent. What comes out of Asbury should be excellent. Amen? Because it's unto the Lord. But compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord, the ultimate prize, the heavenly call, what is it? Rubbish. Rubbish. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. Before Jesus, we had to count on our resumes and our reputation and our own righteousness. But because of the cross, because of my ultimate prize, Jesus, because of your ultimate prize, Jesus, we don't have to rely on that stuff anymore. We do it unto the Lord. I study unto the Lord. I play unto the Lord. I work out unto the Lord. I do fitness unto the Lord. Whatever it is, unto the Lord. But I no longer have to rely on my own righteousness and my own works, because my ultimate prize came and died on a cross for my sins. That's some good news, y'all. Men's soccer, winning games, that's all right news. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that's the best news. And that's our ultimate prize. So I want to challenge you, as we land the plane and head towards worship and you go about your day, I want you to ask the question, like, what are your eyes on? As you go to practice, go and be focused athletes and be excellent. But really, at the end of the day, when you walk off that field and you take off your boots or whatever you do, what are your eyes on? When you study for school, when you excel in that class, do it unto the Lord. But what are your eyes ultimately on? Because where your eyes are set, you're going to end up. And I want you guys to end up in the ultimate prize, in relationship with Jesus, in that heavenly upward call. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for Asbury Athletics and the culture that they've set. I pray that you'd keep them safe, that you'd bring them success, that you would ultimately help every athlete look more like Jesus by the end of their time here. But Jesus, I pray for this whole campus. I pray that we would set our eyes on the ultimate prize, that we wouldn't end up somewhere much different than we sought out to end up. Help us set our eyes on the ultimate prize, which is Jesus. And we all said, amen.